Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to begin to learn, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but thrive during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and as always, it's an absolute honor and a privilege to have you joining us. Now, today, well, first of all, you're going to discover the second of the two most important financial principles in all of the Bible. Recall that last time we learned about the first, this time you're going to receive the second. And then, well, did you ever wonder if retirement is scriptural? Well, we're going to talk about that during our Q&A time together. And of course, we're going to spend another great minute with Maxwell. And finally, I'm going to remind you of our free monthly giveaway. Now, what you're going to find is that this is going to be a fast-moving 30-minute time together. Again, I'm so glad and privileged that you are joining us. And as we start out, as we always do, please, let's come together in a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for meeting with us here again today. Please give us the ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. During our last radio seminar time together, the Lord showed us that the first of the two most important financial principles in all of His Word and all of the Bible is the principle of wealth. You see, the point from last time was that if you want to move to spiritually higher ground in your finances, well, then you're going to first begin to see through spiritual eyes what you have so long only considered through worldly eyes. You need to begin to understand and apply the key biblical financial principle of wealth. Now, remember wealth according to God's definition? Well, it consists of a whole lot more than just the material things that you may possess. It also includes things like your friends, your family, your health, time, talents, abilities, skills, and all the rest. Listen, it includes everything that God has ever placed into your spiritual trust account. And remember, it's more, oh, so much more. It can include, but it is more, oh, so much more than the dollars and cents you have in your purses and pocketbooks and billfolds and checking and savings accounts. And we also learned that what is important to God about all that we have been given is not the amount or the value, but our attitude. To God, what is important is not how much you have, but your attitude about whatever it is you have been given. And what is the attitude that God wants you to have? I mean, if your attitude is so very, very important to God, and it is, well, what is the attitude God wants you to have? It is the attitude of a steward. And stewardship is the second of the two most important financial principles in all of God's Word. Now, today what we're going to do, we're first of all going to take a look and see what it is. We're going to define stewardship. Then we're going to see what it looks like. And along the way, you're going to discover that it is a whole lot more. Stewardship involves a whole lot more than just giving the tithe or contributing to the building fund. Okay? Are you ready? Okay, listen up. Let's get started. First of all, what is stewardship? Well, the Bible clears that up for us. It really does. It says that stewardship, well, it begins by acknowledging that God is the true owner of everything. The psalmist and the Psalms, the psalmist puts it this way. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Remember that the entire world and everything in it is His by right of creation. He is the owner. You and I, we don't own a thing. The sum of our wealth, according to God's definition, is simply the sum of all that God has given us to manage. And again, remember, time, talents, abilities, skills, and on and on. God owns, we manage. So, what is a steward? Well, let me give you a good definition, okay? Here's a good definition of a steward. A steward is simply a manager of another person's property. That's good. Let me give it to you again. According to the Bible, a steward is a manager of another person's property. So that's what stewardship is. But just exactly what does stewardship look like? Well, good examples of stewardship of stewards in our world today would include folks like, like our bankers and guardians, teachers, parents. And I could go on, but I think that you get the idea. And I honestly believe the banker is probably the best example because, you see, bankers know that they do not own the money that they control. Their job is to manage it. Now, as stewards, including bankers, well, stewards have some rights and some restrictions. For example, stewards have the right to put to good use the wealth that they manage. And stewards often have the right to keep some of what they manage for their own use. However, stewards also, they also have some restrictions, don't they? For example, stewards are always accountable to the owner. The fact is that the owner can come back and take the wealth from the manager if the manager doesn't follow the owner's directions. So that's a good summary of what stewardship is and what it looks like. Now, let's see what Jesus has to say about stewardship in Luke 12, 16 to 20, and which, of course, is the parable of the foolish farmer. Now, Jesus started out this parable by saying, "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop." Now, that's an interesting way to start. Let's take a look at a couple of things here, a couple of important points. You know, notice that, first of all, Jesus does not condemn the rich man, nor does he condemn the wealth, in this case, the good crop. Now remember, your wealth, it is not good or bad. Wealth is not moral or immoral. Wealth is not pleasing or displeasing to God. It is your attitude about your wealth and how you use it that is either pleasing or displeasing to God. Now, if attitude is important, and we've already seen that it is, well, let's check out the attitude of this rich man, okay, when he sees that great crop come in. Listen to what the Bible says again in Luke 12, 16 to 20. Listen to what the rich man says and see in your own mind whether or not you believe this rich man considers himself to be a manager, a steward, or an owner, okay? Here's what the Bible says. Luke 12, 16 to 20. The rich man says, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I will store my grain and my goods, and I will say to myself." Do you see his attitude? What do you think? Did he see himself as the owner or the manager? Sure, man, he considers himself to be the owner. And when that large crop came in, he didn't even consider himself to be a steward and therefore ask, "God, why in the world did you entrust all of this to me? And what exactly is it that you want me to do with all that it is that you've given me?" Oh, no. He didn't think along those lines at all, did he? No, he considered himself to be the owner, and he planned to store it all away for his own use without asking God. You see, he took the position of an owner, and of course, we know from reading the Bible that he was condemned by God. Now, I have to tell you that this parable has a huge implication for us today. How so? Well, because as we've already seen, all of us, you are rich when you consider wealth from God's perspective, right? I mean, you have good crops come in, don't you? I mean, you have your education. You have your jobs. You have your family and time and talent and abilities and skills and all of the rest. But do you treat God as the owner and ask him how to use all that he gives you to manage? Or listen, do you try and act the part of the owner, and do you plan to hide it away in your barn? Well, now you may or may not have an actual barn, but you do have things you can hide it away in. For example, you can hide it away in your checking accounts and savings accounts and homes, cars, clothing, jewelry, and all of the rest. You see, if you choose to be a steward, God blesses. If you choose to try out the position of an owner, you're going to find that God condemns. Now, remember, The secret to stewardship is attitude. You must have the attitude of a manager. Leave the ownership right where it belongs, and that is with God. All right? Okay. All right. Well, that wraps up our radio seminar time together. And now recall, we just discovered the second of the two most important financial principles in all of God's Word, which is what? Sure, it is the principle of stewardship. And by the way, do you see how the principle of stewardship links tightly to the first of the two most important biblical financial principles in all of God's Word? The principle of wealth says that God owns it all. He is the owner. He is the owner. The principle of stewardship says we don't own a thing. We are managers. We are simply managers of all that belongs to God. Now next time, next time we're going to dig a little bit deeper into the principle of stewardship. It's going to be great, so don't miss it. Let's spend a little bit of time and talk about retirement. I mean, so many of us are retired, and there are a whole lot of us that can't wait to be retired, so it's not uncommon, as you might understand, that we get questions on retirement. Here is a great question. I'm in my early 30s. Married and have two children. So I guess I am what one would call an average American. My company allows me to invest 5% of my salary in a retirement plan, and then it matches those funds. Now, I know that this is a good deal and we can afford it, but, and here's my question, is retirement spiritual? And if not, how did we get so caught up in it? Well, now there is a question that I am sure really hits home to a lot of folks today, okay? But what kind of response would you give to that question? The question is retirement scriptural? Is it spiritual? What would you say? Well, to start, I have to tell you that there is only one reference for retirement in all of the Bible. And that would be in the Old Testament book of Numbers. In Numbers 8:25, well, it tells us that the priests of the tent of meeting, now the priest of the tent of meeting would later become priest of the temple, okay? So the tent of meeting was the early temple. But those priests, well, they should retire from their work at 50 years old. So apparently, retirement was not very common for God's people because there weren't a whole lot of people who were priests, all right? Now, it is true that folks in Jesus' day didn't live as long as they did back in Abraham's day, right? But even back in Abraham's day, when people lived for a long time, back in Abraham's day, we don't find any mention of retirement. So to put this in the right balance, it would seem clear that biblically speaking, God's norm is for us to stay active all of our years this side of seeing Jesus Christ face to face. So at best, retirement should be a transition to a different vocation, but not a lapse into non-productivity. Does that make sense? Now listen, most people obviously can't do the same work at 65 as they did at 25 or even maybe 45, but listen, they can do something. Retirement planning then, in my opinion, and I think biblically backed up, retirement planning should involve both, listen to me, both financial planning to supplement the earnings in the later years and vocational training. What are you going to do? What are you going to do in life at age 65, 75, or maybe even 85? You see, those who don't do any planning during the high income years, and by the way, the Bible calls high-income years, years of harvest, okay? People who don't plan during years of harvest may find that their senior years, which the Bible calls winter, people who don't plan might find their winter years very, very lean. Proverbs 6, 6 to 8 says this. I know you've heard this, but it really fits here. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. For the ant, having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provisions at harvest. So what we find in the Bible is that a sit around and do nothing productive kind of a retirement is not scriptural. We should plan for retirement both financially and vocationally. All right, make sense? Okay, all right. Now, let's take another question that directly relates to retirement, okay? And it's a great question. Here's the question. Our budget is very tight, but my husband's company offers a retirement plan that matches 10% of any money we put in it per year. Should we stretch our budget and join this retirement plan right now? Wow. Now, I have to tell you, first of all, that is a great plan, okay? It's a much more generous plan than most folks are going to find out there in these tough times today, okay? But what should you do? Well, let me give you a couple of thoughts, okay? First of all, I would suggest that you start out with about 5% of your income and take advantage of this retirement plan right now, okay? Now, it may stretch your budget a bit, but you can do it if you make it a priority. Now, if you need help to work or rework your budget to make it possible, you can always give us a call. Check us out on our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. So the first thing I'd suggest that you do is that you participate in this plan at some level. Secondly, I would suggest that you have your retirement contributions automatically deducted from your earnings just like you do your income taxes, all right? Third, and this is key, you got to be sure that you do not treat your retirement account like a savings account and continually dip into it for all of the things that you want and trips and houses and cars and vacations and meals and all of the rest. You know, your retirement account is a long-term savings program with a purpose, right? It is a purpose. The purpose is retirement, or at the very least, something like education for your children. So, go ahead and start at some level. Make those payments automatically. Don't dip into it. And finally, just as we learned during our radio session today, our radio seminar session today, you are still the steward of your income, even when it's being invested into a retirement account. Now, what does that mean to you? Well, it means that you have the responsibility of a steward to dig deep enough to ensure that your retirement income is invested wisely into accounts that are God-honoring. Does that make sense? Okay, all right. Two good questions on retirement. Now, I have to tell you again, I really love the fact that I get to share a minute with Maxwell with you each week. Now, remember, each time that we are with this Christian author and speaker and coach, during each minute with Maxwell, you are going to gain insight into a specific word, a single word. And that insight can really add a great deal of value to you in every single area of your walk with the Lord, okay? Now, today's word is execute, as in, you know, we're going to hear John talk to us a bit about how to execute an idea, okay? You see, we all have ideas, don't we? For example, you must have the idea that you need to get a better grip on your finances and do it God's way, or you probably wouldn't be listening to this program right now. Am I correct? Well, and that is exactly what we do every week. We give you insights into God's word on how you can better manage the resources the Lord puts into your hands. And that's why we're spending some time talking about the biblical principles of wealth and stewardship, right? Okay, but you need to move these ideas from your mind to your heart and then to your arms and leg, your feet and your mouth and your hands. You need to put the ideas into action. Well, let's hear from John Maxwell how best to do exactly that.
John Maxwell here, and I'm glad you're with me on Minute with Maxwell. Let's talk about the principle of executing ideas. I forget who it was, but it was the CEO of a company a few years ago. And he said these words, "Everybody that takes a shower has an idea." He said, "It's what you do with that idea after you get out of the shower and dry off that counts." And I thought about that. I thought, isn't that true? We're taking a shower. We're singing in the rain. We're kind of letting our mind go out there. We're just kind of filled with good thoughts and dreams. And, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if? And we've got all those ideas in the shower. And we come out, and we dry off, and we put on the clothes. And all of a sudden, they're no longer there. Well, what's happened? What's happened is we haven't executed on the idea. Now, to be honest with you, I have a lot of ideas. And a lot of the ideas that I've executed on, to be honest with you, they didn't go very far. They weren't probably that great of ideas. In fact, have you ever been like me, you had an idea in the middle of the night and maybe even got up and you wrote it down, and the next morning when you're fully awake, you looked at it and thought, now what does that mean? That wasn't that good. Well, kind of sometimes out of the deep sleep, I've got an idea that I think is good only to wake up and find out it isn't. We've all had ideas like that. But what I'm talking about is following through on the ideas. And there are three things that I do that I think are going to be helpful to you if you really want to start executing on ideas. Number one, write the idea down. Just put it down there. I mean, just as it is. And then look at it, because there's something about visually looking at something that is written that kind of lets you know potentially how good it is. But write the idea down. That is first. Number two, try the idea. I mean, when I say try it, just go out and give it a shot. And it doesn't have to be a dozen tries. Maybe it's just one try. But just go out and say, okay, this is what I was thinking. I'm gonna act on what I was thinking today. Here's where you really execute well. After trying the idea, I call that, there's an expression I use, and that is I call it taking your dog for a walk. After taking your idea for a walk, in other words, what do you do when you take a dog for a walk? Everybody stops, what's its name, pets it. You start talking about your dogs and your pets, and you're getting discussion on taking that dog for a walk. Well, take that idea out there for a walk, try it out, and people are going to let you know whether they think it's good or not. But after a few tries, come back and look at the idea again, now not only in light of how you wrote it and what you did with it, but now look and say, how can I improve it? Because what I've discovered is that the first thought is not the best thought. It's just the first thought. Nothing wrong with that, because that's the thought that gets you started. But if your first thought is your best thought, you're not thinking very deep and you're not thinking very long. So you write your first thought down, you go out and try it a little bit, and then you come back and you write it again. I promise you, the second time you write it, it's better than the first time. If it shows promise, go execute on it again. You see, the execution of ideas is a result of writing them down, trying them, rewriting them, trying them, rewriting them, trying them, until you get to where you want to go, or till you get to the place where you say, isn't going to work. I've had both things happen. But I know that ideas get better with trial, error, reflection, and correction. That's what you want to do with ideas. Don't let them die. I promise you, if you don't write them down, if you don't try them out, and if you don't try to upgrade them, you'll lose some of the best potential that you could ever have in your life. John Maxwell here. I'm glad you joined me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow, that would be another great teaching from John Maxwell. But listen, let me suggest to you, when it comes to coming up with ideas on how to better manage your finances, I got to believe, and I think you know, that there's got to be a ton of places that you can go, right? Sure there are. But I suggest that you're going to do a whole lot better looking into the Bible for those ideas rather than the Wall Street Journal. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Wall Street Journal. I love it. But I think you're going to be a whole lot better off in the Bible. Now, how best to look into the Bible, for example, to learn about stewardship? Well, one great way would be to continue listening to our radio program every week, but you can also choose to be part of our services and seminars and workshops that are available now and coming soon at our Hiawassee Training Center. You're going to get all of the help you need to not only come up with great ideas that are unique to you and your specific situations, but you're going to get all the help you need to refine and execute those ideas. For example, let me give you several examples of our services that are available now and also some of the ones that are going to be coming up later this year. For example, I hope you've already heard our radio commercial promoting our new Dave Ramsey personal financial coaching services, right? They're available right now. Maybe you've heard Dave talking about us on the radio. And also available right now is our in-home services for senior citizens. This is where we have trained people that are going to help our older adults receive Bible-based help to take on the basic financial and personal organizational challenges that they need to be able to live a more stress-free life. We're going to help them organize their finances. Now, we're not going to write the checks, we're not going to handle the money, but we can help them get on a budget, organize their calendar, their insurance documents, their income tax preparation forms. We can do an awful lot to help our seniors in their homes. You can choose to be part of our growing Money Wise Children God's Way seminar and workshop, where you're going to learn to share with your children and grandchildren ages 5 to 15 Bible-based practical financial helps, tips, and activities. Also, you can discover our Money Sense for Widows seminar and workshop, where our community widows will learn to better manage the material areas of their lives in ways pleasing to God, plus learn how to evaluate the intent and the quality of the legal investment and personal counseling services they're receiving. And then finally, you can work online either as an individual or as part of a small group to be part of our Your Finances in Perilous Times seminar and workshop. This is going to be a chance for you to dig a whole lot deeper into Bible-based financial principles and applications to help you live your material and financial life in ways that are pleasing to God. Now, in the weeks to come, I'm going to be sharing with you all about each of our ministry services, seminars, and workshops, okay? Now, remember, you can always check out the details. You can check out the details of everything that we do from our website. The website is www.christianfinancialministries.org. That's www.christianfinancialministries, all spelled out, .org. There you have it. Another great 30 minutes with the Lord on how He would have you better steward all that He places into your hands. Now, remember to learn and to understand what the Lord says. Well, that's just the start. You must then execute. You must prayerfully work to get His plan up and operating into your life. Thank you, John Maxwell. And you now know that your preparations for retirement must include both financial preparations and vocational preparations. And of course, remember back, we started out this time together by discovering the second of the two most important principles, financial principles, in all of God's Word, and that would be the principle of stewardship. Recall that God is the owner. We are tasked not with the role of an owner, but rather a steward, a manager of another person's property. Now, two final thoughts as we close. First, remember to request your free guide to buying a car or a home by either giving us a call at 828-835-0888 or by sending us an email through our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. Now, that phone number again is 828-835-0888. And finally, well, let me close us with a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come, all to Your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time for Your Financial Freedom God's Way Radio.